Welcome to our study of John's Gospel, Chapter 11. Jesus has arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, who has been dead 4 days. And in verse 41 of John chapter 11, it tells us, "So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, and let him go." Tombs in those days were caves, either natural caves in a hillside, or caves that were chiseled out of the rock. Their usual size was about 6 by 9 feet, and about 10 feet high. It was customary to chisel some indentations in the walls of the caves where the bodies would be placed. When we go on our tour to Israel, we always go into one of those tombs and see how caves were prepared for burial places. Instead of a door, they placed a large stone cut like a cartwheel to cover the entrance, and it was set in a groove outside of the entrance. When you wanted to close the tomb, then you rolled the stone along the groove. It was like a track, and it sealed the entrance to the cave. By the way, the city of Bethany, which is just a stone's throw away from Jerusalem at the foot of the Mount of Olives, is now today called by the name Azariah, or Lazariah, meaning the place of Lazarus. It has retained that name. So when you look in a guidebook or a Bible dictionary, it will tell you that the name still persists because of the miracle of Jesus, which was performed here. Now the text tells us that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Why with a loud voice? Is it because Lazarus was dead and needed a loud voice? I don't think so. I think it was for all the people who were there, so that they would hear it. And not only hear it, of course, but believe that it was Jesus who caused this person to come out of the grave. Now, this calling the dead man back to life out of a tomb was a microscopic sample of what Jesus proclaimed would happen in the future. And all of us are going to be in on this. He said it in John chapter 5, verse 25. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And in verse 28 of that chapter, he said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth." Someone has suggested that Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out," instead of "come out," because if he hadn't restricted it to Lazarus, all the dead in the area would have come out. Well, I don't know whether that is true, but it's a possibility. We know that when Jesus arose, there were many Old Testament saints who arose at the same time and came out of the tombs after his resurrection. You read about that at the end of Matthew in the story of the resurrection. It says, "The tombs were opened. So great was the power of the resurrection that it spilled over into other graves, and those people came to life and went into the city of Jerusalem." We don't know what happened to them. Nothing more is said. Now, this coming of Lazarus out of the tomb is a miracle of gigantic proportions. If you can raise a man who has been dead for 4 days, you can do anything. And people must have said, "Well, he must be more than a man. He must have come from heaven." Ah, if they do, then they are getting the point which Jesus wanted them to get. He is the real Jesus of the Bible, whose voice can beckon untold numbers of angels, who was always heard when he prayed. Demons trembled at his word, and the wind and the waves obeyed his voice. This is the Jesus of the Bible. Does his voice affect me in any way today? Does it affect you? Listen to him in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing? Not even a little bit? No, nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Yes, his voice has affected me. It has brought me eternal life, and it changed me. It has caused me to be devoted to Jesus Christ and to want to serve him. I don't serve because I have to, or because I'm trying to get anything out of him. I am serving because of what he has already done for me. I really don't need any more blessings. I already have everything given to me. All the treasures that Jesus has, the inheritance, he's going to share it with me. All I have to do is die to catch up with what is already reserved for me. My place in heaven is reserved. The Bible tells me that, and it's reserved for you if you believe in him. His Spirit lives in me, and I can boast in front of Moses and Isaiah and say, I have something you men didn't have, because they never had the Spirit living in them. This is wonderful what God has done for the believer in this age. I have eternal life, and the Spirit within me not only lives there, but he bears witness that I am a child of God and an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You see, we do have an awful lot. I heard his word, and I believed it. But there were many here at Bethany who did not believe. John writes in verse 44 that the dead man came out. He didn't say the dead man walked out, though I'm not sure this is significant. It's possible that he could have floated out. And the reason I say that is because of the way they buried people. They wrapped them with linen cloths, particularly their hands and feet. And if the 2 feet were bound together, he could not have walked out. It's possible that they were bound with these bandage-like cloths separately, then he could have walked out. Although it would be with some difficulty, but it doesn't tell us. In any case, his movement was restricted to the point that he needed some help to get out of those bandages, and so Jesus ordered that he be assisted and released. Now when Jesus called Lazarus out of that tomb, he defied the powers of darkness that had enslaved all mankind to death since the Garden of Eden. His voice defied Satan's authority over the grave. All the principalities and the powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness could not oppose his command. So Lazarus came out. Then we read in verse 45, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on thus, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on they took counsel how to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer went about openly among the Jews, but went from there to the country near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. The raising of Lazarus from the dead proved to be a catalyst that would affect the people, the religious leaders, and also Jesus. It was his final miracle in this gospel prior to his resurrection. The text tells us that the raising of Lazarus was significant first of all to the people. That is pointed out in verses 45 and 46. They tell us that there was a division among the Jews. First it says, many believed. They believed in him as what? That's the question. They believed in him as a man sent by God, as a spiritual leader, and some may have thought of him as a political leader who had spoken about the kingdom of God on earth along with a kingdom in heaven. Whatever their faith was is not clear from the passage, but whatever it was, they saw Jesus as an alternative to the religion of the Pharisees, and that had some appeal. They did not, however, believe what you believe today about Jesus Christ. They, of course, did not believe in the death of Jesus Christ for their sins. They did not believe that he was buried nor raised from the dead, and that is the gospel. They didn't know that at that time because Jesus had not yet died, even though Jesus from time to time spoke about his coming death. And keep in mind that even the apostles toward the end of the Gospels had great doubts that Jesus would really die, and even had more doubts that he would be raised. So we shouldn't expect people who it says believed in Jesus to understand those things. We need to keep in mind the context. This all happened before Jesus Christ went to the cross. And when people believed before that, they were not believing like people believe today to become Christians and get eternal life. Well, there's more that we want to say about verse 45, and we'll do that tomorrow. But I want to tell you about our cassette course on the authority of the Bible. If you have doubts about the Bible, its inspiration, about revelation, and whether you can trust the Bible, here are some tapes that you won't want to miss. The authority of the Bible rests on what Jesus said about the Scriptures. After all, he's the greatest expert, and what he said about the Bible is what's important. You can get information about these tapes by writing to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for tape information. We have many other short courses on cassette tapes also, and we'll send you that information. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please tell a friend. We invite your comments about the Radio Bible Course. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.